Good evening and welcome to a very special edition of Gravitas. I'm Palki Sharma Upadhyay. Joe Biden is set to take oath as the 46th president of the United States. Donald Trump has left the White House and gone to Florida. Biden attended a service at St. Matthew's Church in Washington, D.C. And then he has reached the U.S. Capitol. It's going to be a long day for him, one that he's waited for 30 years. That's when he made his first presidential bid. The presidency is beginning on a unique note. America has deployed 25,000 troops to ensure a smooth transition of power. The oath-taking is taking place with Washington under an emergency. America is divided, bitter, and ravaged by the Wuhan virus pandemic. The new president has decided to take 17 executive actions on day one. The old president refuses to stop the rhetoric. Americans cannot attend the ceremony. 200,000 flags have been placed instead of people. The security concerns are real in the U.S. right now. Biden has been in the White House before, but the one that he's returning to presents new challenges for him. On WeOn, we've been getting you nonstop live coverage of all that's happening in the United States of America with the biggest team of reporters on ground. And on Gravitas tonight, we'll continue tracking the events at Capitol Hill with ground reports and analysis. Let's begin with an update on what's from Washington, D.C., what's happening there. Simon Marks has been tracking the latest for us. Hello, Simon. It's being called a historic day for America. So let me ask you the most frequently asked question in the history of television journalism. What's the mood on the ground?
Well, I think, Palki, that the mood on the ground here is one of great concern and anxiety about the security situation in Washington, D.C., even as the peaceful transfer of power gets underway for what on television in many ways will appear like the ritual celebration of the trappings of America's constitutional democracy, even though, of course, President Trump is not there to witness them. And this is going to be because not just of the security situation and the president's absence, but also because of COVID-19, a very, very different inaugural than those we have seen before. But we have started to see, as you will have observed, the images of familiarity with the Bidens and Kamala Harris and her husband, Doug Emhoff, arriving on Capitol Hill just within the last few minutes ahead of their swearing in and the president's inaugural address, which will be taking place in the course of the next 90 minutes or so. I mean, among Democrats, and you could see this on social media, there was this sense of absolute palpable relief once Air Force One, carrying the president, Donald Trump still president, and carrying the nuclear football, which he still got at his fingertips, left Washington's airspace for one last time and headed to Mar-a-Lago in Florida. But equally, there are concerns here about security. There's a report that the Supreme Court building has been evacuated because of a bomb threat, the Supreme Court itself, not far from the United States Congress, where this swearing-in ceremony is going to be held, and concerns that go beyond the inauguration about how much longer Washington, D.C. is going to be a fortress, sparked as the presence of so many troops on the streets and concrete blast barriers and security fences was by the events of just 14 days ago, the violent insurrection at that very building, the U.S. Congress, fomented and incited by Donald Trump, that left five people dead. So very nervous times, a very unusual inauguration, and a sense of expectation on the part of Democrats about what Joe Biden may be able to achieve in office, that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are immediately going to have to start to manage.
Indeed. 4 years back, Americans voted the ultimate outsider to the White House, Simon. That experiment failed and we saw it. Joe Biden, some say, is the ultimate insider with 50 years in politics. What kind of performance pressure does the incoming president face?
I mean, I think it's almost beyond description, Palki. I mean, if you cast your mind back to when Barack Obama became president, succeeding George W. Bush. The sense of expectation then among Democrats seemed to peg the meter. They viewed George W. Bush as absolutely the worst American president the country could ever imagine having. That was as nothing compared to the sense of expectation that now surrounds the Biden presidency as it gets underway. And while Joe Biden will spend the rest of the day aggressively taking executive action to overturn some of the decisions that Donald Trump took, he's going to sign an executive order that takes America back into the Paris Climate Change Accords. At the stroke of a pen, he's going to suspend the termination of America's membership in the World Health Organization. He's going to overturn Donald Trump's ban on travel for people from predominantly Muslim-populated countries. All of that's going to be scrapped within hours of the presidency. But he's not an authoritarian any more than Donald Trump was able to be an authoritarian. He's going to have to reach out and use his old guile, established as it was for so many years on Capitol Hill, to work with leaders from the Republican Party up on Capitol Hill at a time of massive polarization here, and at a time when the Democrats did not win the landslide they expected in November. The U.S. Senate is going to be 50-50 with Vice President-elect Kamala Harris casting the deciding vote anytime that the split is 50-50. That gives Joe Biden a narrower sense of opportunity than he would like, and that many Democrats, I think, fully understand as he takes office and prepares to confront the crises, plural, that are now besetting this country.
It's going to be action-packed the weeks ahead for those covering what's happening in the U.S. Simon Marks, thanks very much, and thank you for holding fort for us. WeOn is now available in your country. Download the app now and get all the news on the move.